Support comes from Missouri Forest Products Association, committed to sustainable and sound conservation of the state's forests, which support more than 41,000 Missouri jobs, resulting in a $10 billion industry. Choosewood.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha.
And that's probably one of my favorites, if not my favorite book, because that's based on my horse,
right,
Perestroika.
Right.
And I tried to think, okay, how would she like being in Paris? And I thought, she would love it because she considers herself extremely elegant.
Right, right. Before Jane Smiley won a Pulitzer Prize for her 1991 novel, A Thousand Acres, she was just a kid growing up in the St. Louis suburbs, learning about herself and people around her amid the social and cultural realities of 1960s America. As it happens, Jody Rattler, the protagonist of Smiley's latest novel, Lucky, does the same, and even goes to the same high school the author went to. There's a good deal more life that Jody lives in the pages of this book. So how far do the similarities between creator and character go? What roles do place and time play in Lucky, and how have they figured in Jane Smiley's own journey as a writer? Well, we have the pleasure of exploring those questions and others today with Jane Smiley. Jane, welcome back to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you. It's always fun to be here.
So the last visit, you were on the show in 2019, mm-hmm. and you were in town for an event. And before that, you had been in town in 2017. It's directly related to your growing up in the St. Louis mm-hmm. area. And it was your 50th high school reunion at John Burroughs. Jane, what was it like to be back here for that specific purpose?
Well, I was very fond of John Burroughs, and I always say that it was John Burroughs that put me on the trail to being a writer, because they assigned so many interesting books that when I was beginning there, I found impossible to read. I was only familiar with the Bobbsey Twins and Nancy Drew and a few horse books,
right, right. Know,
like Silver Birch. But I got to love them. And I think one of the things that happens is that if you have to try really hard to understand a book, then you get more involved in the whole process of wondering about what writing means.
Mm-hmm.
I became obsessed with Charles Dickens, for one thing.
Okay. There's a lot to read there.
mm-hmm. But everything about Burroughs was great, the landscape, everything.
So did that reunion have you reminiscing at all about your youth in a way that you hadn't before?
Yes, I would say so, because I drove around to all the places that I had lived, and they were pretty various.
Mm-hmm.
We lived in Webster in a middle-class house that my grandparents owned. We lived near there in a kind of a dump. We lived in a really fancy place in Crèvecoeur and then moved to a fancy place in Ladue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like I had a journey around St. Louis when I was a kid that I didn't really understand. And then I came back and visited, and I felt like I understood it more. I mean, one of the fascinating things to do is to go to the beginning of Litzinger Road and just go all the way down Litzinger and to look at the houses and to see how beautiful some of them are, and then to come into, I think it's Maplewood, and just see a regular middle-class town. That's St. Louis. That's mm-hmm. St. Louis.
Right. So as you were driving through, I mean, did you do this on your own? I understand that you did come back with your husband.
Yeah, he would drive, because if I'm driving, I actually have to watch the road.
Oh,
but if, but if he would drive, then I could look and see things. But I would also stop and just sort of walk around.
Yeah.
Went back to our old house that my mother and stepfather built on Wood Acre, it was gone. It was demolished. That was really sad. And went to the junk house that we lived on on a street I'm not going to name. It was still there. I thought that was really weird.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, this driving around that you did, I mean, was there anything that he pointed out or observed that sort of took you back to maybe a moment that you'd forgotten and then somehow made it into Lucky?
Well, the reason I wrote Lucky was that I love music, and I always wanted to be able to play some instrument. Our family liked to sing, and I would sing along, and I love singing, but I wanted to be able to play some instrument. And I took piano lessons from a woman on our street in Webster for a while, but I was terrible at practicing, and I didn't learn to, but I wished I had.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lucky is kind of the result of, okay, what if?
Right, right.
And I thought it was interesting to think about, okay, I understood that if I went to Burroughs, I would probably be very literary or very scientific.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting to think about a girl who doesn't want those things, who wants to be a musician, and to see what it felt like for her.
Uh-huh.
Now, obviously, if she's growing up in St. Louis, there's a huge music scene. She knows who all the famous people are. In the book, she even bumps into Chuck Berry at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that I thought would be a benefit in the book, to put it in the context of the St. Louis music scene.
Yeah.
But I also wanted her to live her life differently from mine. So, and I don't want to give too much away, but she does not, for example, go live in Iowa for 20 years.
Right.
And she does decide to live in New York for a while, which I always thought about but was afraid to do.
Mm-hmm. I can relate to that. And this time you're here, you know, we're talking about this new novel, Lucky. And Jody is a girl from St. Louis. She was born in New York. Like you,
yes.
born somewhere else and then grew up here, and she becomes a famous folk singer. So this growing up in the St. Louis suburbs before leaving for college and then going to see more of the world, can you talk a little bit more about the plot of the novel? What is happening in it?
Well, she lives in Webster. Webster's an interesting town because there's this one part of town where the people are very wealthy and the houses are huge and the lawns are gorgeous. And then there's this other part of town, you know, 30 seconds away if you're driving, that is just a bunch of houses that are not worth very much.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Old Orchard, which fascinated me. And then there's this regular middle class area around Avery School where I went to elementary school. And I don't know, there was just something about it that says, okay, some people live this way, some people live this way. And you can keep looking around and figuring stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
There are also, one of the things I love about St. Louis is that there, a lot of the buildings come from a time when houses were very interesting, sometimes elegant, but even if they weren't elegant, they were still interesting, and a lot of them were made of brick and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to set a book in St. Louis. I wanted it to be about someone who's my age, and I wanted her to have some of my experiences, but to react to them in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Another experience that she has is after college, I went to England. I was there for about 3 months, and I worked on an archaeological expedition.
Okay.
In the grounds around Winchester Cathedral. And I wanted her to go to England because I'm very fond of England, but she does different things than I
did. Right.
And so I wanted to explore. It's like a fantasy trip.
Right. Well, and fiction is a way to do that, explore
yes.
those fantasies. Now, I want to get to something that really stood out to me as I was reading the book. It takes place, a lot of it, in St. Louis, and I'm a transplant here. I moved here about 10 years ago. But the high level of detail about parts of the St. Louis area were things that I could relate to. So the first place I lived was right where Jody was living with her mother in that area, close to where High
around
Point
Skinker.
Theater.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, the descriptions of the area around Jody's house on Skinker, places like the Cheshire and mm-hmm. Fox and Hounds where I have been. I have driven, past streets like, is it Argonne?
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah,
Argonne?
That's where her uncle lives.
Right, in Kirkwood. And then even the Chinese restaurant on Brentwood Boulevard. Is that Yen Ching?
I don't know what it was back in the day, but
yeah.
my mother loved Chinese food. And she loved all kinds of food.
Right, right.
And so she would go there and she would take me.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some things I would eat. I came to be much more fond of it later
right.
on.
Right.
But I still remember the first time I was driving, so I was in my own car, so I must have been at least 16, And I actually drove somewhere and had my first piece of pizza in my whole life.
Oh, wow.
And thank goodness it was St. Louis style and not Chicago style.
Yeah. There's much more to chew on with the Chicago style pizza. Jane, to what extent were you able to, to draw upon memory for that level of detail? I mean, especially given that things, they
yeah.
do change over time. And then, did you need to do quite a bit of research to get those details right?
Well, I did have a lot of memories that stuck in my mind, but I had to, since she continues to live in St. Louis, I had to see how things had changed. And some things had and some things hadn't changed very much. So I visited and I looked around, but, I also used the Google Boy to explore things.
Okay.
And so I would see the things the way they were more recently, and mm-hmm. that would remind me of other stuff. But it would also tell me how things had changed. And if
mm-hmm.
she's going to live here, it has to be accurate. One of the things I think is true about novels is that the hardest thing is to depict the setting.
Yes.
I mean, it's not like a movie where you see it on the screen. You have to make it appear in the reader's mind so that the reader has a sense of the context of what's going on in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And this reminds me of an experience in Burroughs because we had to read Dickens novels in 7th grade, 8th grade, and 9th grade. And I think the 7th grade one, I can't remember what it was, but I could barely understand a word. The 8th grade one, I sort of understood a few words.
Mm-hmm.
The 9th grade one was David Copperfield.
Okay.
And I dreaded reading it. And we had to read it in 2 weeks. We had two weeks to
wow.
read it.
Uh-huh.
And I put it off and put it off. And finally, on Saturday, before it was due on Monday, I sat down and read it. And I read it in 2 days. I understood every word. And the images of some of the places that David went in the course of the book and mostly the places, they really stuck in my mind. Now, later on, when I went to England, I realized that those weren't the exact places that Dickens was thinking of. But that's a characteristic of novels.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't been where the author was writing the novel, then you don't see it the way he did or she did. But if the author's good at depicting the landscape, you can picture it and you can imagine what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always what I've wanted to do because I love walking, I love landscape, I love the way that the nature of the environment that the character's living in dictates the things that the character is imagining or thinking about and doing.
Mm-hmm. So there was really no other place that Jody could have grown up than St. Louis.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But then I don't know any place well enough to be able to say that.
Yesterday, Jane, we spoke with someone whose work you recognized back in 2010, and that's Jamaica Kincaid. You mm-hmm. were the judge and presenter for a Center for Fiction Award that recognizes a writer for a book worthy of, quote, rediscovery and wider readership. And that book was Annie John, a novel that is autobiographical in nature. What is it about Annie John that left such an impression, especially given what you've just said about creating a world?
Well, that's what she does. And it's a different world from my world, both geographically and culturally. And that's what I thought she did such a great job of. I mean, the characters were fascinating, and I liked the story and all of that. But to have the combination of her insights into the characters combined with this my sense of being on this island with her and having her be young, a certain age where you're learning stuff. I mean, it had so many good qualities. I just loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the days when my career was starting and in some sense hers was too, the critics and the scholars didn't pay a lot of attention to women's literature. So most of the books that were recommended were books that men were writing.
Right.
And so that's sort of why I thought that book had kind of been a little bit lost and ought to be rediscovered.
Mm-hmm. How did you find it?
I don't even remember. It was there, you know?
Thank goodness it is. So as we are talking about Annie John is autobiographical.
Mm-hmm.
And this new novel that you've written, Lucky, there is some bit of autobiography other than setting, right? I mean, does it come with Jody's personality or temperament?
Yes. I wanted to write about someone who was not totally different from me, but who was slightly different from me. And she's pretty reclusive. She's really devoted to her music. And she is an only child. So she's had a bunch of things in her life that maybe other people would call, I don't know, misfortunes.
Mm-hmm.
But she has learned to make the best of things. And she's been doing this her whole life. And there's some great things in her life. So she has her mother is difficult, but her uncle is a total sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
And he happens to be a great investor.
Right.
So he can sort of be backup for her if things don't go right in her career.
Mm-hmm.
And he helps her a lot. And he's essentially a sort of brother/father figure mm-hmm. to her because he's younger than the mother.
Right. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation with Pulitzer Prize winner Jane Smiley. Her new book is called Lucky. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from Missouri Forest Products Association, committed to sustainable and sound conservation of the state's forests, which support more than 41,000 Missouri jobs, resulting in a $10 billion industry. ChooseWood.com.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with Pulitzer Prize-winning author Jane Smiley about her new novel, Lucky, a book about a folk musician who grows up in St. Louis and rises to fame through changing times. So, Jody is a folk musician,
mm-hmm.
but her working musician life includes other genres.
Yes.
What does Jody's music sound like in your head?
Well, it's variable. You know, she's got a good, she's tuneful. The music itself is sort of easygoing, and but she likes to use it as commentary mm-hmm. on the world around her. She doesn't do anything really shocking, but she does some songs that are kind of funny. And I wished, you know, I loved writing the lyrics. I
yes.
really loved writing the lyrics. But I wished that I actually knew how to write some of the music.
mm-hmm.
I thought about asking somebody, so make some songs out of these.
Right.
But I haven't done that yet, so maybe
someday. Somebody listening who reads the book may contact you about that. And you've just mentioned Jodi's writing. She's also a writer. And as she moves about in the world, whether she's traveling in Europe, like mm-hmm. England, Scotland, you know, walking around New York City, or even in the basement, helping her mother pack up the house that Jodi grew up in, you know, for a move. She's constantly observing and composing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a creative process quirk of yours too, Jane? Do you write? Okay.
Yeah, for a long time I kept a journal. And I still write things down. But for me, writing a novel is a form of exploration. And it could be exploring something that I know nothing about. It could be exploring something that I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something that I'm exploring that I'm very familiar with. For example, when I was thinking about 1,000 Acres. I always wanted to rewrite King Lear because I wanted Goneril and Regan to have their say.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in Ames, Iowa, and we were driving down from the ultimately elegant Minneapolis
mm-hmm.
back to Ames in the late winter, and we were coming down the upper northern area, which is extremely flat. And I looked around and I said, okay, this is where I'm going to set that Lear novel, because this was the most valuable farmland in all of Iowa because of the topsoil.
Mm.
And the more I learned about it, the more interesting it got. And that's kind of true. Well, you know, that's what I've done with horses, like for Horse Heaven and other books that have horses in them. I want to explore what makes horses, each horse, different from the others. What gives them individuality? How you train them? How you treat them? What they themselves might be thinking? And mm-hmm. I did do that with Perestroika in Paris, because I make the main character a horse who escapes from the race course, Auteuil race course, into Paris and lives there in the middle of the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably one of my favorites, if not my favorite book, because that's based on my horse,
right,
Perestroika.
Right.
And I tried to think, okay, how would she like being in Paris? And mm-hmm. I thought she would love it because she considers herself extremely elegant.
Right, right. Well, all of that, you know, all of that information that could be put into nonfiction form. Why do you make it fiction?
Because fiction is what you read to learn how people feel about things and to learn the emotions that are going through their mind and how those develop into actions. Nonfiction is about basically what happened and why.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in fiction, too. But fiction's about what happened and how it felt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I really like about it. And that's absolutely true of, say, Jane Austen or Charles Dickens or Anthony Trollope, or, you know, my favorite fiction writers. And it was true from the beginning. One mm-hmm. of my favorite books is Tom Jones, from the 18th century, and mm-hmm. you really get the sense of what the story felt like to Tom and his, and it's just fascinating.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of facts and history. Mm-hmm. Jodi identifies feminism and liberation as a couple of things that motivate sort of a number of the decisions that she makes mm-hmm. through the course of the book. Jane, how much of that springs from, you know, the times that she's living in, the historical mm-hmm. moments that she's living through, and how much of it was sort of motivated by something that you wanted to address and how someone would be feeling and experiencing that?
Well, my mom was the provider in our house. She worked for the Globe as the women's page editor. Mm-hmm. And that was all through elementary school. And we had no sense in our family that women had to do something. You know, Mom was a great model of a woman who did what she wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to community and boroughs, there were young women all around me who were determined to do what they wanted to do. It just seemed normal to me.
Yeah.
And then I went to Vassar, which was originally Vassar Female College,
mm-hmm, right,
you know,
right.
The one that says, I'm going to teach you to be whoever you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of being a feminist or doing what you wanted to do or pursuing your career or whatever, that just came naturally to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted it to come naturally to Jodi, too. She could look at various musicians, the ones she calls the Jays, Joan Baez, Judy Collins, Janis Joplin.
Mm-hmm.
And she could relate to them because she can see that they sing and perform in the way they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it turns out well, as with Joan, and sometimes it turns out badly, as with Janis.
Right.
But, you know, I think Judy Collins is still performing, you know, and what a piece of luck
mm-hmm.
that is for them.
Yeah. That's a great segue to something I want to return to, which is the title of this book, Lucky. Why is that the title, Jane?
Well, I have to say that I too have been lucky. I've been lucky in so many ways. You know, I always feel I was lucky to grow up in St. Louis. I always feel I was lucky to grow up in Webster. I always feel that I was lucky to get into Vassar and to meet this whole much more sophisticated world than I was familiar with when I got there. And I have been really grateful. You know, here was a piece of luck that's very specific.
Mm-hmm.
When I decided that I wanted to write a book, I had a friend at the Iowa Writers Workshop who, instead of becoming a writer, went into publishing. And when I had written my first novel, she was working for Harper & Row. And her boss was having some problems. And so he was having Freudian therapy 5 days a week. He was very busy.
Right.
And he told her, since she was his assistant, that she could buy whatever she wanted. She's a smarty pants anyway, but he mm-hmm. told her she could buy whatever she wanted as long as she didn't pay too much for it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had finished the draft of Barn Blind, I sent it to her, and she bought it. So that was a great piece of luck.
Right.
You know, the advance was $5,000, which doesn't seem like much now, but it was a lot then.
Right, right.
It was a year's salary for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And the other piece of luck was that I got to be one of those people who just sort of sneaks onto the literary scene
mm-hmm.
because no big deal was made out of Barn Blind. But I got to have a book published, you know, learned this about publishing, that about publishing, all that stuff. And then I did another one at Paradise Gate and basically the same things. And so it gave me this ability to familiarize myself with what it means to be a published writer without having to deal with any shocking things like even too much money or too much fame or whatever. And so I always thought that was a piece of luck, too.
Right. And I think I've heard you say in an interview elsewhere that you're starting out when you did at a time when, as a writer, you didn't have to make an instant hit. Was also a bit of luck, too.
Well, it was also good. I mean, my friend, obviously, was a woman. And it was also good to start out at that time because women writers at that time were sort of dominated by people like Norman Mailer, and that those were the important ones, Mailer, Roth, those guys.
Right.
And so we got to tiptoe in and get published and get a little bit of press, and then women writers became more interesting for the press and maybe for the readers too. And so there got to be more editors who were female, who were interested in women writers and what they had to say. Yeah. So it was a great time to get started.
So Lucky Jane, I mean, do you think that this story and character could have been written by you at an earlier point in your life? No. Why is that?
I just had other things on my mind. And I haven't been very retrospective in my career. I've been writing about things that I was curious about and wanted to know about, not things that happened to me. A lot of writers start out with some dramatic event that happened to them, and then they use writing to sort of make sense of that event. But I didn't have that kind of background. I was much more curious about things that I saw, things that I heard about, things that I witnessed. I mean, no, I did not live in medieval Greenland. But I was absolutely fascinated by what would have happened to the Greenland colony in at the end of the Middle Ages. And so I was very curious about that. And I worked very hard on that book. I wanted to make it seem authentic. And that's kind of the way it all was. When I was writing A Thousand Acres, I knew there was a reason that Ginny and Rose were against their father, but I had to think up one. So I had to research into the stuff that the materials that Shakespeare was using in order to write King Lear. And so I came up with some forms of child abuse that had never happened to me, but I had to refer to them and look, figure out what they would have felt like and all that. And that's what I love about writing fiction.
Yeah.
You get into the minds of people that have had other experiences than you have, and you have to make them believable. And that's why I love writers like Anthony Trollope. My favorite book of his is He Knew He Was Right. And Trollope actually didn't like that book because he was a kindly good man. So how's he going to write about somebody with oppositional defiant disorder, you know? But it's obvious that he kept his eyes open and his ears open, and he paid attention to what was going on, because the depiction of Trevelyan, the young man who becomes more and more cruel as time goes on, was so true. I mean, Freud didn't even exist when Trollope was writing this book. And they do say that Freud read a lot of 19th century literature in order to figure out how the mind works. But man, that's the greatest, one of my absolute favorite novels.
So as a closing question, if Jody were sitting in the studio with us right now, what would you say to her about this book? And how you feel about its being here, right, in St. Louis, where she grew up.
And where she lived for a very long time. I would say, please forgive me. But, you know, my wish would be, well, what do you think? I mean, you told me all this stuff. Did I do it right?
Mm.
So that would be my wish.
Mm-hmm.
I feel I wish that we would get along and be friends and that she would like to have someone depict her childhood and her adulthood and her career.
Mm-hmm. Jane Smiley grew up in the St. Louis suburbs, just like her protagonist Jody in her new novel, Lucky. She won the Pulitzer Prize for her 1991 book, 1,000 Acres. We'll see what comes next with this book. Jane, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This episode was produced by Elaine Chaw.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
St. Louis on the Air proudly supports local artists by using music from Life Creative Group.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, committed to conservation and careful management of the state's forests to make them more resilient and better habitats for wildlife. Choosewood.com.